You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
It's Monday, 27 July. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb Global Headquarters in Johannesburg, South Africa. On the show today, Mateta Tulari will be talking markets. We've got Donnie Pretorius from Master Drilling. And so they drill the deepest hole ever drilled. And Petri Radenhuis from Herenia Capital Advisors on junior trailings miner Jubilee Metals. This show is proudly sponsored by FMI, a division of Bidvest Life Limited. Make your impact, protect your income first. The views and opinions expressed in this show do not reflect the views and opinions of FMI. Some morning headlines from MoneyWeb: insurers make concessions in business interruption cover battle. And from CNBC, gold eyes record high as safe haven demand thrives. Morning markets, US was red on Friday, S&P was off 0.6, NASDAQ down 0.9. Asia mixed, we've got Sydney up 0.2, while Tokyo is off 0.2%. Commodities mostly green, a little bit of pressure on oil, but the story is all about gold, $1,928 an ounce, and that is an all-time high. Rand 16.56, and top 40 opening call, for green open, about 0.6% up.
MoneyWeb Now, on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting with Mateta Tulari, he's a business analyst at RMB. Mateta, appreciate your time this morning. I'm going to touch on some of the updates from Friday. Woolies, I suppose the food part doing well, everything else not doing well, and Australia still, frankly, somewhat of a mess. I mean, no surprises there, although the market did sell it down on Friday.
Good morning, Simon. Happy Monday morning. I suppose it's the end of July, so I think it is going to be another kind of crazy week. Yes, you're very much right. I mean, on Friday, Woolworths obviously flagged a small fall in their annual sales after most of its non-food stores were shut down in the second half of this financial year due to the ongoing COVID-19 lockdown. But even before this, you know, whole pandemic, I mean, already a lot of South African retailers are struggling with the weak economy and also weak consumer spending, and obviously the high electricity cost and ever escalating unemployment numbers that we're seeing. So the pandemic has compounded these problems for retailers, for the likes of Woolworths, and obviously their sales performance for the second half of this year was also hit by dropping the customer numbers. Obviously, I mean, people can't go out to shopping centres and malls. So, you know, the funny thing is we did see a huge increase in the online food sales business. Mm-hmm. I mean, that went up by around 88%, whilst the fashion, beauty and homeline online sales also grew by the odd 40%, which brings us back to the point that we were discussing a few weeks back with, you know, the fact that a lot of retailers and a lot of online consumption will take place. And hence, you've even seen the likes of, Apple, Amazon, Facebook, Netflix over the past 3 months, on average, all of them going up by around 20 to 30%. So it just shows you that the online and at-home state technology kind of is going to be the new normal, or rather the abnormal as we now know it.
Yeah, and that online, I mean, certainly, you know, we're in a pandemic, we're staying at home. It occurred to me today, I haven't put petrol in my car in the whole month of July, which is, you know, usually at 2 tanks a month. The online trend, the question is if they can hang on to it sort of post-pandemic as we return to sort of non-lockdown, but we could see a fairly significant shift in consumer behavior. South Africans were never big online shoppers.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, truth be told, I'm going to start with myself. I've never been a big online shopper, but over the past couple of weeks, and as you realize, the growing concern around the pandemic and the numbers that we've seen locally, I mean, you know, you're seeing a lot of, you know, stocks like Dis-Chem, Clicks, Woolies, you know, you call it, the, you know, ShopRite, etc. There's so much online that you can do now. I mean, even the likes of Takealot. I mean, you know, just as a consumer and as you analyze and as you go to some of the pickup stations there, you realize the ever-growing demand for online. And I suppose even in the Australian market, that you bring it back to Woolies. I mean, You know, you just look at there. I mean, we saw some online visibility analysis platforms showing that, you know, the online platforms there had an increase of around 74% year on year, with 5.7 million visitors, you know, looking at the likes of Amazon Australia, and even Woolies was also in the top 10 in Australia, where people were doing a whole lot of online shopping. So it just shows you that, you know, this is the new normal that people are going to be filling their shopping carts using online. And I suppose this bodes well for some of the telecoms companies that will obviously have a lot of subscribers coming onto their platforms.
Yeah, you mentioned telecoms. MTN also with an update on Friday, a strong update, way ahead of what the market expected. I think maybe there was some expectation of some pressure in maybe Nigeria, which is an oil economy. But the truth is, we're in lockdown. MTN's in 20-odd countries. Most of them are some level of lockdown, and we're consuming more data, more than voice, but we're absolutely on our phones and using data, and plays directly into MTN.
No, definitely. I mean, MTN obviously announcing very rosy set of results. I mean, obviously the share price also gained more than 10% at the close of the trading week on Friday. I mean, you know, they said they're expecting to report an increase in earnings per share of around 140%, which is quite interesting because, I mean, according to the JSE requirements, you know, any listed company must publish a trading statement as soon as they know that they're fairly certain that in their upcoming financial results, it will differ by more than 20%. But that said, I mean, quite a good set of results. And I mean, obviously, MTN will publish its group results around the 6th of August. Mm-hmm. Just like any other company, I mean, they've also alluded to the fact that the effects of the COVID-19 pandemic on the overall global economy have had an impact on them. And obviously, it brings a lot of uncertainty, volatility, and challenges, both at a socioeconomic and a macroeconomic level. But nonetheless, as you say, I mean, obviously they are in a number of countries in Africa, in Asia. And I suppose, you know, that diversified mix is working for them. And obviously, the mere fact that they're telecoms and everyone at the moment is now consuming so much data. And I think going into the new abnormal, that it will actually bode well for them.
We'll leave that there. Matete Tolari, business analyst, RMB. Appreciate your time this morning.
MoneyWeb Now. On the money.
Chatting now with Donnie Pretorius. He is CEO of Master Drilling. Donnie, morning. Appreciate your time. You sent out a press release last week. You've drilled a hole 1,382 meters, going straight down. To a novice, I think to myself, man, that's just a warm up for a morning swim. But in mining parlance, that's over a kilometer. That is a huge achievement, and well ahead of the previous record, which was just over 1,000 meters.
So good morning, thank you for the opportunity. Yes, indeed. You know, if you consider where the mining industry is going to, with mines going deeper and beyond 2,000 meters today, some mines, and the open pit miners are going underground, I think, you know, very important for the industry and service providers to develop technology that can deal with these longer holes, longer shafts to be drilled in future. Certainly a huge achievement from our side.
I want to quickly take that. I mean, you mentioned deeper. In South Africa, we get the deeper part. Our mines are old. We've been pulling the precious metals out of the ground for, 140-odd years. Is this a global phenomenon as well, I imagine, where, you know, simply mines go deeper as we, I mean, obviously you mine the shallow stuff first because it's easy, and even other markets are going deeper and deeper underground?
Absolutely, Simon. We see this worldwide. You know, just the inquiries last 10 years, if you just consider the movement from the typical 1,000 meter, 800 to 1,000 meter mines today, again, you know, well beyond the 1,500, 2,000 meter mark. So I think, you know, the service providers and contractors like ourselves need to deal with this. And here's the reason why the blind shaft drilling technology which has been developed on the site is so important for the industry and for us as a service provider going forward.
This hole that you've dug, it's a pilot hole. So I had a look at the one of the pictures you sent out. It looks about, I suppose, maybe 30 or maybe 50 centimeters wide. But now you've got to get that, you know, make it into a full-size shaft to get other bits and pieces done. How long is this whole process it take?
The total process, the pilot with the winning process, probably take just on 2 years, 21, 22 odd months. You know, once we've dealt with the pilot hole, So we need to hook up the arena and then ream back or enlarge the pilot hole to 4.8 meters. And that will probably take us the best part of a year, you know, 330 day art, given some delays you normally experience. But so, yeah, there's still some work to be done before we complete the project.
And I mean, in essence, I imagine there's all sorts of, I mean, you know, one of the issues is now, I suppose you're actually pulling this rock to the surface as you're drilling. It's also going to depend the rock that you're going through. I mean, some of it is going to be easier. Some of it is going to be as hard as nails.
Absolutely. You know, it's a uniform and homogeneous rock mass. We just to talk of that, you know, we had to drill the last couple of 100 meters with like 60,000 liters of water loss. So it's certainly not easy, and we do believe there's going to be some issues in reaming back, which is normal for these size holes to be reamed. So yeah, in short, not going to be easy, but again, I think it's possible. We've done it before, and we hope to complete the reaming part of the project in the next 3 days.
And one of the things with master drilling is, I mean, a lot of this tech, I mean, this isn't just a sort of like, you know, you rock up with a drill. This is proprietary technology that master drilling has developed over the decades that you've been operating in this space.
Simon, yes, you know, just to talk about that, you know, it's not only digital technology, it's also the operational and technical crew and skills that comes with that, and the machine itself. So if you could put them in boxes, 3 or 4 boxes, you know, ultimately it starts off the machine and the controls on the machines, what we call speed and feeds of the machine, and some intelligence that we've built in and IP that the company has been developing for a number of years. So that's one part. The second part, which is probably more important, as important, is the technical skills of the operational people. Critical, mm-hmm. You know, you can have the best kit available, but the skills critical for a project like this. And then obviously, what we call the in-hole stuff. The general equipment, critical, you know, in this particular case, we made use of the oil drilling technology that's out there. And, you know, putting that all in one box, I think it turned out to be quite successful.
Yeah, it's a fair point. It's the technicians as much as it's the equipment. Master Drilling itself, I mean, you're a South African company, obviously operating in South Africa, but you're operating globally. You're in South America, you're in parts of Asia. You also, if I recall correctly, last time we chatted, you also got some presence in North America.
Yeah, I think we're operating today in 23 different countries from Scandinavia. We probably covered the total South America, North America, India, you know, now into Asia, Australia. So I think we pretty much cover the global world out there. So, yeah, I like to think international company with current exposure of the group, probably about 20-odd% only in South Africa.
Okay, about 20% local. Donnie Pretorius, CEO of Master Drilling, as they drill the deepest hole ever, 1,382 meters. Appreciate your time. When you protect your monthly income against the risk of injury, illness, and death, you protect your future and the impact you make on those around you. FMI has been protecting South Africans' income for over 25 years, constantly innovating to provide greater claim certainty and cover for more occupations than ever before. Make your impact, protect your income first. FMI, life done better. FMI, a division of Bidvest Life, is a licensed life insurer and authorized financial services provider.
MoneyWeb now, on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting with Petri Ragnhase, he's from Herenia Capital Advisors. Petri, morning. Trailing's minor Jubilee Metals trades through 1 rand, in fact closed 105 on Friday. I remember when you first told me about this tiny little junior miner. I think it was trading about 45 cents. I scratched my head. I don't like junior miners. I don't like big miners, to be honest, at the best of times. But this little one's different. I mean, they do trailing, so they're not digging holes as my previous guest does. They're pretty much going to old mine waste and pulling out PGMs, chrome, lead, zinc, and are managing to make a decent profit from it.
Good morning. And yes, so they've got a slightly different process. It took many years to research, really. So basically what they're doing is they're refining tailings, so waste material from PGM mines, and as well as chrome mines. So they're basically recovering the chromite processing chromite tailings and recovering from that obviously some chrome as well as some PGMs through like a flotation process. I'm not 100% sure exactly how it works. It's a lot of chemistry and all sorts of stuff. But they then basically managed to recover from that tailings from these old PGM mines that got off-take agreements with most of the people in the platinum belt. They've also have some of their own operations, particularly in the chrome mining industry, where they then run their own tailings through this process. And they produce, platinum, palladium, as well as gold and chrome and those types of stuff. They also have an operation where they have a smelter or a refinery, a copper refinery in Zambia.
Mm-hmm.
That's starting to ramp up production as well. So they really are sort of a high-margin, low-cost PGM producer. Not entirely just PGMs. There is some industrial metal capacity in there as well with chrome and copper. Particularly now, there's quite a strong push for them to expand the operations that they have in Zambia, which is particularly, which is a sort of a copper focus.
Mm-hmm.
To expand production there to about 14 kilotons of copper production, which is currently sitting at one. Obviously, it's not going to happen overnight. So from 1 kiloton to 14 kiloton is going to be quite an increase in the next coming years. But so as far as junior miner are concerned, I don't think they always were a junior miner. In the past, they were, they have had glory days, which they are sort of trying to recover to, I suppose. But I think from a cash flow perspective, they're doing really, really well. And they're managing to produce ore and PGMs at a much, much lower price. I think they're coming in something like $480 an ounce, where the sort of PGM basket prices, which is the average price of most of the platinum metals groups, including gold, is sitting at around $1,200. So they are making a massive amount of money.
Yeah, I mean, that's the point here. I mean, chatting with my previous guest from Master Drilling, a lot of mines are going deeper and deeper. But with the new technology, and I agree with you, it's chemistry, which I did at high school, but not this level of chemistry. They're able to do it at a significantly cheaper process. And I was digging around. I mean, this tailings globally is expected to be a plus 100 billion business globally. It's sort of the new frontier. And maybe it's not so new. DRD is doing it just here in Johannesburg. It's the easier and better margin way to do sort of mining these days.
Yeah, exactly. And if you can, one, it makes your mining operation more efficient if you can reprocess all the tailings. And two, if you can get access to, and this is what's relatively, or has been a part of Jubilee's model so far, is that if you can get access to traditional mines tailings, stockpiles, because mines sort of mine the stuff out and throw it on the heap, and there's thousands of tons of processed materials and waste product that you can reprocess, and you can pull out almost the same amount of yield per ton as what the original mining process pulled out from all those from all that material. So you can reprocess all of that stuff. And so, as you say, there's almost no need to, I guess it's not going to suit the entire demand for the market.
Mm-hmm.
But, there's a huge amount that can be mined through that at a much, much lower cost. And I think that Jubilee is very well positioned to take that. If you look at a sort of a valuation model from a discount cash flow sort of model, and you make a number of different assumptions based on the exchange rate and how much production they can do and all sorts of stuff, you should be able, we're sort of coming to around 1.60 that we think the share is worth over the next 12 months. And that's excluding any sort of ramp up in production that is expected, particularly in Zambia with the copper refinery production capacity being increased. They're relatively focused on getting the production sort of really ramped up on that side. So if that comes online, it could potentially be even higher.
Yeah, and looking at that chart, I mean, it's a crazy chart. And the last boom, which was what, the platinum boom, because they used to be Jubilee Platinum, they were 20 rand a share. Then they spent forever and a day lurking, you know, sort of in this sort of sub 80 cents. That chart is fundamentally a long-term trend change as it's closed 105 on Friday. Pier 3, Radin Hayes, having your Capital Advisors chatting Jubilee Metals. Appreciate your time. That's it for the show today. You'll find us live every weekday morning, 6:30 a.m. at moneyweb.co.za or the MoneyWeb app. Podcast from 7 a.m. Chat to us on social media. Use the hashtag MoneyWebNow. This show was proudly sponsored by FMI, a division of Bidvest Life Limited. Make your impact, protect your income first. The views and opinions expressed in this show do not reflect the views and opinions of FMI. A massive thanks to my team, Eddie and Cordora, to you for listening, my guests for their early morning time. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again tomorrow.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.